Father, what could we do in awe of such love but offer our hearts completely to you? Father, we were praying before that you would mold us. God, I pray that now that you would mold us by your word. God, that we wouldn't be hearers of the word now, Father, that we would be doers of the word. That we would offer all to you. What could we say or what could we do? No other logical thing to do, Father, but to offer our lives to you. And we do that now in Jesus' name and through his power. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. I just want to share with you today, if I trip and fall down, that the ministry is for everyone. It's not just for a select few. I remember way back in 1984, 83 actually, in November. It was a cool November day, driving down a road, praying and with my eyes open and asking God, God, what is it you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? And really, in some respects, I was already in ministry. I had already done a lot of different things, and I just finished serving 6 weeks in the preschool area and the children's. There was a business meeting, and nobody was saying anything, and there was a volunteer position open, and I said, I'll do it. Didn't know what I was volunteering for, but it was a nursery. And believe me, that wasn't a good fit for me at that time of my life, but I did it anyway. But I was driving down the road and I was asking God, what is it you want me to do in my life? How many has ever done that before? Maybe not driving down the road, but ask a question. God, what is it that you want me to do in my life? And at that time, God spoke loud and clear. He said, I want you to go into church and pray. And so I did. And make a long story short, it was a Wednesday night in a Methodist church. I thought there was not much chance anybody being there, but there was. There was two people there, and I went in and I prayed, and God spoke to my heart that day, loud and clear, and said, I want you to preach. And that was the last thing in the world that I ever wanted to do. There was a direct call from God into the ministry. But I want you to know that the ministry is for everyone. It's not just for me, who had a special calling in November of 1983. The ministry is for you. The ministry is for every single one of us. Now, not all of us are going to be preachers, Dr. Collins, because it'd be a really boring world if we were all preachers. Y'all can say amen on that. Okay, that'd be right. All right? Because, I mean, we're not all called to do the same thing. Each one of us has a different calling, a different ministry. But I want you to know it's not just for the professional ministers, and I hate that word and that terminology, or the clergy. Or the reverends. I hate that word, reverend. But, you know, it's ministry is for everyone. If you've been saved today, would you raise your hand? Then you today are in the ministry. Whether you realize it or not, God has given you a ministry gift. As we look at this passage of Scripture here in the Gospel of Luke today, verses 1 through 3, the Gospel of Luke chapter 8 verses 1 through 3 is where our text is going to be taken from today. And as we look at that text, as we look at the text today, I want you to see here some interesting things, some very interesting things that God used. God used some ladies here in Jesus' ministry. I've read the Bible through a few times, but this really stuck out and really grabbed me that God used the ladies. The ladies were traveling with Jesus. I knew his 12 disciples traveled with Jesus. I didn't know there's a group of ladies traveling either. But they were. And so let's look at the Word of God today. Let's look at the Word of God today as we read in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verses 1 through 3. We could read it from there. We'll just do that. Here it is. Soon afterwards, he was traveling from one town and village to another, preaching and telling the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary called Magdalene. 7 demons had come out of her. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward. Susanna, and many others who were supporting them from their possessions. From their possessions. They were supporting the ministry of Jesus from their possessions. Isn't that amazing? Here is God using these ladies and these men to accomplish His purpose here on earth. You see, He had a purpose to accomplish and a ministry to do, and He was not going to let anything deter Him. He was not going to keep anything from letting Him fulfill the purpose that God had in His life. And here is the ladies who were with Him, and it mentions them by name. Luke is the only writer that gives us this information. He is the only writer because he was writing to the Gentile world. Luke's gospel is the gospel for everyone. And in this day and time, and even today, in this day and time, if you go to Palestine, if you go to the Islamic countries today, women are treated like they're second class. Women are treated like they are nobody. And just study and learn that culture, because that's the way they're treated in the Islamic world today. And even in Jesus' day, we see how Jesus came in here and said that women are just as profitable to me in ministry, that these women who are walking and going with Jesus, God used them in a special and a great way. And they, not only did they walk with Him, they supported Him in the ministry. And I just want to, you know, I pastored for a while, for 20 plus years. I've been a pastor and 25 years in the ministry. And I thank God for some godly ladies over the years. Can anybody else say amen to that? Bruce is saying amen. Dr. Collins, isn't that true? That there's been some ladies in the ministry that have been right there. And, you know, I'm the greatest prayer warriors I think that I've ever had in ministry are some of the ladies that I've had praying for me. And as I watched that age group die off and pass away, those who had prayed for me faithfully over the years, I'm grateful to God for them, how God used them and how God used them to encourage me, how God used them to even support me from time to time. I am thankful that Jesus here lists these names. The Holy Spirit told Luke to put these names in the Scripture today. But I want us to look at the overall arching thing that was going on. It says here, and now it came to pass that afterwards that He went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings or the good news of the kingdom. And so let's look here. We have adopted our motto, the Orchard Growing Healthy Believers. That's our motto as a church. And let's see how this scripture here helps us to grab hold of that today. And so we find, first of all, they glorify God through proclamation. They glorify God through the proclamation of the Word. That's worship. As you look at the five purposes here that we have, and if you have your bulletin, you can open up your bulletin. You can see the five purposes that are listed there within our bulletin as well. But first of all here, I want you to know that they glorify God through the proclamation of His Word. This was Jesus going from town to town, from village to village, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And worship as a result. Sometimes when we think of worship, we think of just singing what we've done this morning. But worship is much more than just singing. One person oversimplified the definition of worship and said, put all that you think that He's worth, put it in a ship and send it towards Him. Folks, we need to worship Him every single day of our life. Every single moment of our lives ought to be spent somehow or another in time of worshiping Him. And every day, there needs to be a time carved out of that day that we can spend worshiping Him. I want you to know that just recently God has laid on my heart to study and go through the book of Romans in my quiet time. And some of the greatest times that I've had with the Lord in a long time have been going through the book of Romans just recently. I'm not real fast. I'm not through chapter 1 yet. And I began at the beginning of the month. But I'm here to tell you, as I'm studying the book of Romans and sometimes listening to music while I'm studying, there's been times of just putting everything else aside and just saying, wow, thank you, God, for showing me that. Wow, you're an awesome God. We glorify Him. And Jesus was glorifying the Father through the proclamation of the Word. And they were, you know, as they were going, proclaiming, telling the good news. And you're going to watch a video in just a little bit. We've been going and telling this summer. We've been going and telling the good news here in Traverse City area, as well as other places around our country. And coming up in December, as well as other places around the world, we are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful to be able to do that. Not only were they glorifying God through the proclamation of the preaching of the good news, they grew through on-the-job training. They grew through on-the-job training. And that's discipleship. And Jesus had the best way to do it that's ever been conceived. And that is by on-the-job training. He took His disciples with Him, and He taught them, and He took three of them, and He taught them even more specifically. But you know what? As I read this passage of Scripture, not only did He take the 12 with Him, but these other ladies that were with Him as well, and maybe other people on this journey that was with Him, He was teaching them as well. He was discipling them as well. As a matter of fact, God invested 3 years into 12 men and these ladies. And I want you to know, He turned the world upside down by investing 3 years. 3 years of on-the-job training. That means, hey, Rob, come go with me. That means, hey, Justin, let's go see what's going on and hanging out. And you know, some of the best times also in discipleship is allowing people to ask questions. How many has ever had questions that you wanted to ask? How many of you kind of felt intimidated maybe in the class to ask those questions? Thank you. And so, how many of you, though, when you've been hanging out, like we're going to do this afternoon, playing softball or whatever we're going to do, hanging out this afternoon, how many of you don't feel that cumbersomeness? How many of you don't feel that intimidation in settings like that, or maybe around the dinner table like we talked about last week? How many of you don't feel that in those types of settings? It's more relaxed. It's more at ease. Jesus took His disciples, and He had on-the-job training. I mean, they went with where He went. They ate what He ate. They had a lot of fish, according to the Scriptures. And they drank what He drank. That'd been fun, wouldn't it? But having Jesus there, I mean, Jesus, this drink don't taste good. Could you fix it? Think about that one for a little while. Here was Jesus. Here was Jesus, and He was taking His disciples and the ladies that were with Him in the ministry there, and He had on-the-job training with them, discipleship. And I want you to know that as an Orchard Church, if we're going to be what God has intended for us to be, we've got to be making disciples. That's the imperative of the Great Commission, is make disciples. Go into all the world making disciples. And I believe one of the greatest ways is by on-the-job training. I really want every aspect of our church to have leaders training other leaders. Listen to me now. I want Rob and Brenda and I want the preschool area, and I want our worship team to be able to be reproducing themselves through discipleship. That's growing healthy believers. That's doing it in a way that can be tangible and can be done. Not only did they had on-the-job training and they grew through their discipleship, but they gathered together for fellowship. They gathered together. And you can see that within the context of this Scripture today, that they went together, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary and list all the other ladies there, they were together, gathering together for fellowship. And not only did they do it while Jesus was here, but the early church gathered day by day for fellowship. House by house, day by day, they got together and they fellowshiped one with another. Not only does it mean that every day that you're going to be hanging out with your life group, but that means that you ought to be doing life together. That you ought to be hanging out in a fellowship setting. That's the reason life groups are so important. And that's why and I'm emphasizing the 40 days of love coming up, and then got some other exciting things coming up after that. Let me ask you a question. What would you do if you knew that you only had 30 days to live? What are some things in your life that you'd change if you have only 30 days to live? Just tuck that away, because we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But folks, life groups is where we choose to do it. You know, whether it's in a Sunday school class, what traditional setting was, or whether it's in life groups or small groups, whatever you want to call it, folks, it's important that our body of believers, our church, as we grow larger in number, we need to grow smaller in our life groups. We need to grow smaller together in our life groups, because that's where real fellowship takes place on an intimate level. And not only does fellowship take place there, but worship takes place there. And not only does worship take place there, but discipleship takes place there. And evangelism ought to take place in those life groups and those small groups as well. And then we can be there to service our neighborhoods, to service the people that are out there, be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, coming back, we need to be part of a life group. You need to be part of a life group that's really doing life together. Are you? Have you? They were gathering together for fellowship. We're going to gather. We're gathered here right now. We're going to gather a little bit later on today to fellowship, to enjoy. They were going to every city and village. That's evangelism. They were going. They were going to every city and village telling the good news of Jesus Christ. Every place they were going and telling the good news. And you know, one of the things, again, I tell you, I've enjoyed studying the book of Romans. But one of the things that God spoke to me about this week is the good news. Has the good news become old news to us? Seriously. Has the good news become old news? Do you still get as passionate about the message of Jesus Christ as you once did? Do you still have that fire down inside your bones like you did the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior? I'm afraid that so many times the good news has become old news. It's like a old shoe. It's real comfortable, but we don't get much excited about it. And I don't think the good news should ever become old news to us. Because when we're in that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's renewed day by day. The freshness of your walk. I want to ask you, are you right now as close to God as you was the moment you got saved? That's a long way for evangelism. It may be. But folks, I'm afraid that the good news has become old news, and you don't get excited about what God did for you. The good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and that you're a sinner. That Jesus Christ took your payment. He took your debt and He wiped it clean. That's good news. That's good news. They were giving themselves as well as their resource. They was giving of their resources. The ladies were supporting the ministry of Jesus, but they were giving of themselves. The disciples left all, they said, to follow Him. They gave of themselves. These ladies had, some of them had left their husbands and their families to go be with Jesus and support His ministry. And I'm sure that Jesus took care of that. He allowed them and had dealt with all the family issues. But I'm telling you, these ladies were sacrificing. These men were sacrificing to be servants of Jesus Christ. They were sacrificing themselves. And not only that, they were giving of their resources. They were giving far beyond their tithes. These people were giving their resources for the kingdom of God. And I want you to know, we too need to give our resources. We need to give ourselves and our resources to the kingdom of God. And folks, when we are giving ourselves, and when we give ourselves, that means everything that we have. Everything that we have that our names may be on the title of. Folks, it really doesn't belong to us anyway. We're all going to terminate it one of these days. All the things that we possess will be terminated when we die. And they're going to go on to somebody else. That some of them may go to our kids. Some of them may go to the bank. May go somewhere else. I don't know. But I want you to know, all the possessions that we have right now that we work so hard for will be gone. Some point in time. So they all literally belong to Him. So we give ourselves. And when we give ourselves, we're giving everything. Saying, Jesus, I surrender. Folks, we've been doing what I've talked about here today. The Orchard Church this summer has went out to do. We have worshiped. We've discipled. We've fellowshiped. We've evangelized. And we've been in service. We've been in the ministry. Let's watch and see today all the things that's been happening this summer. Hold on. Okay. Wow. It's loud there. That's the airplane taking off. No, not really. They're loading it. Folks, I just want you to know, we've had a summer, God's blessed, and we've had an impact on a lot of different things and a lot of different people's lives this year. So I'm talking as they get that. Maybe right now somebody else share with us how God's working in your life right now, what God's doing with you as we wait for this video. Okay, it's ready. Then you can share. I want you to know that I previewed this morning. It was there this morning. It was there. I know. I promise you it was. That's lights. That's not the video. Somebody like to share? KJ's got the mic out. Share how God is working in your life and what's going on in with you. Someone like to share? Kevin, thank you. It is.
A couple weeks ago, in the message, you talked about being humbled about God. And I work on a golf course, and I'm amazed that when I need to spray chemicals in the golf course and I see rain coming, I pray to God that He takes the rain somewhere else and He does.
Amen.
I mean, I can see the storms coming and they'll go to the north or the south. And it just amazes me that I got up in heaven to listen to somebody like me. Pays attention to my needs. And that just drove home again this week. My Escort died. Well, it was almost dead in my driveway. And I prayed, God, we're taking it to the scrapyard. Can you please help us get there? I honestly didn't know if it would get there or not. And it ran fine in the driveway, and I thought for a second, should I keep the car? But I was trying to get to Rifkin, and almost got to Rifkin. I was going down the road to get in there, got up on the scales, and the lady said, shut it off. I got to wait. You got to get out. I said, all right, I don't know if it's going to start back up again. And so I got out, she weighed it, and it wouldn't start again. We had to push it off the scale. So once again, I'm just grateful that God got us. He listens to our prayers, and it's just amazing.
Amen. Amen. Got you to the junkyard. That's awesome. All right, let's watch the video now. I got a thumbs up back there. We'll see. If not, I'll talk some more.
From a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the coal black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere, why have I never care? Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I've been here a million times, a couple million eyes. Just moving past me by, I swear I never thought that I was wrong. Well, I want a second glance, so give me a second chance to see the way you've seen the people all along. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity.
Amen. Folks, God's up to some neat things. God's doing some neat things, and God used us in some unique ways this summer. But folks, I want to ask you now, what's your ministry? What has God placed you to do? Are you fulfilling the purposes He's given to you in life? Everyone has a place of service in the body of Christ. Everyone. As we get ready to go out and do a baptism here in a little while, as we go do other things this week, every one of you, from the youngest to the oldest, God's placed in you a ministry gift, in a place of service. And you know, we need different places in the body of Christ, different service. I thank God that Brad comes every Sunday morning. He was out here this morning when I got here at 25 after 7. He was in the parking lot waiting to help set up. Folks, we need some more help setting up. I just want you to know, maybe that's a place, maybe you'll never be up here, and that's okay. Maybe your place of service would be coming in and help set up. We have people, we have needs within our church right now, workers in children's area, in preschool area, and we screen everybody that comes through. Everybody that goes through a screening, you can't work back there unless you pass a background check. But we need people who will serve in those areas. That's a ministry. We need people who will serve and just maybe in the hospitality. Those people with green shirts on that are out there greeting you on Sunday mornings, aren't you grateful to God for them? And yellow shirts, cute, too. Forgot you, John, back there. Sorry, brother. Yellow shirts or green shirts, as you see on Sunday morning. We need people who will say, let's see if you can smile. Let's see who's smiling in here today. Hello. Okay, now some of you need to work on that a little bit, all right? But if you can smile and greet somebody and say hello, that'd be a really good thing. Or maybe to have somebody go out in the parking lot when it was raining with an umbrella. Folks, there's all kinds of places of service here in the body of Christ. Maybe God's placed it on your heart to sing. If you can sing, that's a great thing. I can't. Maybe God's placed it on your heart to be involved in music and praise God for that. If you can play the drums, it'd be really good. And folks, God's given us. You know, I really believe that some of the greatest talents not saved yet. And we need to go and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's going to bring in and do exceedingly abundant we've ever thought or imagined. Folks, I just want to ask you, though, getting back to the question, where is your place of service? Everybody should have a place in the body of Christ of service. God didn't want us to come and sit, soak, because when we sit and soak, it doesn't take long for us to sour. When we sit and we hear the Word of God and God speaks to us and we're soaking up, and it's okay to soak up what God's saying, but then we need to take what God's saying and put it into actions. Put it into tangible ways of carrying out what He's called us to do. It takes financial support to keep a ministry going. I'm thankful for the support that you give to the Orchard Church, but if you're not giving, if you're not giving your tithes and offerings, I'd encourage you to repent and do that. It takes support. It takes financial support to carry out the message and the ministry of Christ. And in these tough economical times, you say, I don't know if I can afford to give. I don't know if you can afford not to. Because I know the devourer is waiting to devour what you have. But I also know that there's a God in heaven, according to Malachi, that's ready to pour out His resources from heaven and bless you. These ladies realize that this was their opportunity. This was their time. It was never going to come again. It was their time. This is your time. In these three verses, God gives us the purposes that drive the Orchard Church. When I began to sit down with these verses, I was honestly going to speed over those to get to this parable of the sower. And God said, slow down, son. If you're going to preach through a book of the Bible, you need to preach it all. And when I began to look at this, I'm saying, wow, God, the purposes that drive the Orchard Church are right here. They're there. And God said, aren't you glad you slowed down? Because you'd have missed it. And I want to tell you, there's so much of my life and there's probably so much of your life that we don't slow down enough and we miss what God's doing. My challenge is for you today is to slow down long enough that you can see what God's up to in your life. And when you see what He's up to, you live out that purpose. You live out His plan for your life. I want you to stand with me this morning as the musicians are going to come and they're going to lead us again this morning. And we're not going to do what we've been doing the last few weeks. But here's my question for you today. Are you living out the purpose that God's given you? Are you carrying out the ministry gift that God's given you? If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you need to do so. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, God's placed within you a gift. Are you living it out in your life? If you're not, you need to follow Him. If you make a commitment to Christ today, put it on the communication card. Any other type of decision. Maybe you're saying, well, I don't know. I just don't know what it is that God wants me to do. I know that God wants me to do something, but I don't know what it is. Put that down in that communication card so we can pray that God will make clarity in your life. Let's pray. Father, I come to you at the close of this service today thanking you for all that you're doing. God, may your will be done in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, we have a God that's a personal God. He's not a God like in some religious